back up for later. Three services is a long time. All right, how many of you have had zero shopping, Christmas shopping done whatsoever? Like, you're at ground zero. You are my heroes. Thank you. I love crunch time shoppers, or crunch time people. I think that's what I like, crunch time people. Thank you, Daryl. All right. Well, hey, again, good morning. And again, if you're a guest with us this morning, we're so grateful that you're here to come and worship with us, whether it's for family's sake or passing through or whatever. We're just glad that you're here. And I'll be at the Welcome Center afterwards. If you're a guest, I'd love to say hello to us, to you. We're having three services today, and I have no idea, so I'm calling this the warm-up service, okay? So afterwards, whatever feedback that you have, give it to Brandon. I really don't want to hear it, but you can, whatever it might be, I guess, constructive criticism. Hey, we're in a series called A Dysfunctional Family Christmas, and we've been looking at the lineage of Jesus, certain parts of it anyway, and we're kind of matching it up with the people that might be around your Christmas table for a Christmas dinner or your celebration that you have. And the first week we looked at the patriarch, right? We looked at Abraham, and when you come around your table together, you're going to have that patriarch or matriarch, right? Kind of the leader of the pack, the leader of the family. The second week we looked at the black sheep, right? Everybody has that one guy that shows up that you maybe either wish they didn't come or just wish they'd come with duct tape over their mouth, right? It's okay. You can laugh. It's all right. We all know who they are, right? And it might be you. So we looked at that, and we looked at Judah in the line of Jesus. And because if he showed up at your family dinner table with his family situation, it would have been a little awkward. Then last week we looked at the golden child, right? The favorite child, because there's a favorite child at every function as well, right? We can't eat until so-and-so gets here, and can't open presents till they get here, and they get the most presents, and we know who that is. I saw that over there, Helen, patting him on the back. That's all right. All right, we have the favorite child. And in the Old Testament, that would appear to be David, because at nauseam, he's referred to over and over, like David, like your father David, like King David. And so we looked at David in the line of Jesus. Well, today, of course, we're going to look at the best part of Jesus' family line, and that, of course, is Jesus himself. And there's one aspect in particular that I want to look at when we talk about Jesus' coming as the Savior of the world. All right, so before I dive into that, though, let's just pray and take this time to the Lord. Father, thank you so much that we could come together and worship you. I thank you for our church body. Lord, we don't know what to expect today, but we're hoping that lots of folks in our community that are unchurched might make this the first day that they come and come check us out and come hang out with us so they might hear the gospel. And Father, I pray now in the time that we're in that you would open our hearts and minds to your word, that we might learn and that we might grow and take the message of the gospel from this place to reach our unchurched world, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. Well, today I want to talk about a word that is given as a description of who Jesus would be that, quite frankly, it seems like a little bit of a contradiction in Jesus' life. And we'll get to that in a second. But we're going to, of course, look at the one who saves. Right. It doesn't matter what your family situation is, who your family is, who all shows up to the family, if it's a whole family of black sheep or a whole family of golden children. The fact is that we can't save ourselves. And so we want to look, of course, at Jesus, who is the one that saves. This is a place called The Prison Within Me, and it's in South Korea. And for $90, as a client or customer, you can check yourself into this prison. And you can go and give them your money, and when you give them your $90, they'll give you a yoga mat, they'll give you a pen and a piece of paper, they'll give you a tea set, and they'll give you a blue prison garb. And for 24 hours, people will pay that $90 and go and they will get closed in to their 54 square foot cell. And for 24 hours, just have peace. And it was inspired by a husband and wife. The husband was a prosecutor working 100-hour work weeks. And he said, I would rather be in solitary confinement than go through another week like that. And so they built this prison in South Korea that people actually pay money to go and stay in for 24 hours just to get some peace. And one person was quoted as saying, you know, we call it a prison, but actually when we leave this place, where we go back to is really what prison is. And isn't that what we're all looking for when it comes to our family functions is we just want some peace. We just want everybody to get along. We just want it to be a time where everything is just settled and everything is just good. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, this is what we read about Jesus. Isaiah is about two-thirds of the way through your Old Testament. Isaiah is a prophet, and so he's one that carries a word from the Lord. So God would speak to him, and he would share with the Israelites, this is what God has said to you. And if you read Isaiah, many times you will see descriptions of Jesus that will be coming. All right, so this is hundreds of years before Jesus is born. And in Isaiah chapter 9 of his book, verse 6, it says this. And this is a very well-known passage right around Christmas time. You've probably heard it 100 times. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And what's the last one? Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Isn't that the part of Jesus that we're really looking for around Christmas? I mean, we just can't wait to get out of Traverse City and out of the mall because it's just rush, rush, rush and bumper to bumper traffic and snow and people sliding. And we just want to get home, relax, maybe stoke the fire a little bit, get some hot chocolate and just settle in and just enjoy the Christmas time and just enjoy the time with our family. We're just looking for some peace. And in fact, in Luke 2:14, we know this story as well. There's the birth of Jesus is told to us in Matthew as well as in Luke. And in Matthew, we have the story of the birth of Jesus and the Magi are highlighted. And in Luke, the story of Jesus, the shepherds are highlighted. And so these angels show up to the shepherds and they say, listen, good news, great joy, the Savior's being born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds are all excited. And then the angels, this heavenly host comes out and says, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And so is there any mistake in that if Jesus was come as the Prince of Peace, right? And as we know, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Is there any mistake in or any doubt that Jesus has come to bring peace? Well, I got confused because when I turned over to Matthew chapter 10 and Jesus is in his earthly ministry. So he's 30 some years old and he's teaching people about who he is and who the Messiah is. He says this, don't think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. In fact, I've not come to bring peace, but I've come to bring a sword. And when I read those verses side by side, I thought, how can this be different? How can the same guy be the guy that's going to be the prince of things that are peaceful and then also be the guy that comes out in his ministry and says, hey, I haven't come to bring peace. In fact, I've come to bring a sword. Because this is what we want, isn't it? Our thoughts on peace and our thoughts about peace when it comes to Christmas time and being with family are this. We want everybody just to be accepting, right? Listen, they're coming. I know you don't like her boyfriend and you don't like the way he looks and you don't like the 13 jobs that he's had, but he's coming. So just accept him, okay? All right? I know that you don't like your mom's cooking, but the fact is she's cooking and we're going, so I just want you to be accepting. I know we're all Republicans and that Democrat's coming into our house, but let's just accept him for today, right? We all are just thinking that because we just want some peace. Now, it can be entertaining when that oddball comes in, right? However, we just want peace in our home. Secondly, we just want people to be agreeable. How many of you? All right, when I count to three, I want you to think the one person in your family that you're going to be with this Christmas that you know exactly how to push their buttons and get them riled up. Ready? One, two, three, go. You could do it, couldn't you? Lyle, you got a whole bunch of them, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. We just want people to be agreeable, but we know how to push buttons. Lisa's got this uncle. I hope he never listens to this sermon. It's Uncle Dave. And Uncle Dave has this phrase, this saying, and he's a very conservative right-wing guy. And the end of his discussions always end like this. Well, that's just stupid. That's what Dave says, right? And so it's become this thing at family functions to say, let's see who can get Dave to say that's just stupid first. Right? And that's what. And so we push his buttons. But around Christmas time, we got everybody together, and we know what can happen, and the upheaval, and the people leaving with hurt feelings. We just want everybody, listen, just be agreeable. I know you don't like, listen, their idea. Just this moment, these few hours, just be agreeable. And then third, because I could only find one word that started with A that meant be nice, was be amicable. Right? Be amicable. How many of you have to look that up now after the service? Yeah. All right. We just want people to be nice. Just be good. When we think about peace, when it comes to Christmas time and being with our family, is this not the list that we're looking for? Because we just don't want the upheaval anymore. We go back to this prison inside of me. We've all been working in prison all week long, working 40, 50, 60 hour weeks. If you're in retail, I can't imagine how many hours that you've been working the last few weeks. And we just want some peace. And it might just be for a day that you get off, maybe for a week, maybe for a couple weeks. But you're just looking for some peace, not even the quiet part. We like kids making noise. We like laughing and playing games. But for crying out loud, we just want some peace because we're getting ready to go back to that big mess. We just want some peace. And so how is it that Jesus, who was supposed to come as the Prince of Peace, would say, I didn't come to bring peace? So we have all of our thoughts about what peace are, but let's take a look at really what peace means in the Bible. In the Old Testament, I looked it up in this Isaiah passage, and this is transliterated how you would spell it, but I think that we all know it's pronounced shalom, right? How many of you have heard shalom? Right, let's all say it. Ready? One, two, three. Right. And it means, and it's peace. It's the Hebrew word for peace. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament has been written in Greek. And so this is how you spell it, but again, it's shalom. And in the Old Testament, if you look up shalom in the Greek dictionary, it would say it means completeness or soundness. And so when you add that to that Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace, he came to be the Prince of completeness, the Prince of soundness. And when you think about the life of Jesus, did he not do just that? He came and he absolutely was completeness. He didn't sin. He was perfect. He was soundness. His judgments were always right. His behavior was always right. And that's what he came to be the peace of. When you look at the New Testament, the Greek word for peace is eirene. Say eirene. Ready? One, two, three. All right. I think it's interesting that it sounds like Iran. And the first definition is a state of national tranquility. Maybe a little ironic, maybe. But eirene means a state of national tranquility, or the second definition is peace between individuals. And so Jesus, who has said this is going to be the Prince of Peace, the Prince of completeness and soundness, said, I didn't come to be the state of national tranquility. I didn't come to be peace between individuals. In fact, if you read further that passage in Mark chapter 10, Jesus goes on to say, I'm here to put brother against sister and mother against son and father against daughter. And he said, basically, if you love anyone more than you love me, you can't have any part of me. And he said, he's come to be the Prince of completeness and soundness, but he didn't come to be peace between individuals. In fact, let's take a look and see what is it as peace as it pertains to who Jesus is. What does the Bible tell us, in particular the New Testament, about, of course, who Jesus is and what peace is in his vocabulary or how it would be defined for us? And the first thing we'll see is that peace is contrary to the world. Jesus' peace as it pertains to Jesus, is absolutely contrary to the way that the world thinks about it. In John chapter 14, verse 25 through 27, John is one of the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the Apostle John wrote this. He put, he's quoting Jesus. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay? So when we are become Christians, Peter said in Acts 2:38 that when we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we have, when Jesus left, he asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit so that as believers, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's what he's talking about. And he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This peace that he's giving to us, this soundness, this completeness that he's sending through the Holy Spirit, that if we listen to him, that we can walk in the ways of Jesus and according to his will, is not as the world gives us. It's not the way the world gives us. It's easy to think about peace in worldly terms, right? You watch any Miss America pageant, what would you like? I'd like world peace, right? And we make fun of that answer anymore. But the fact is, we would love to have peace in this world and peace with our family. But Jesus said, the peace that we're talking about is not as the world gives. I'm talking about a peace that's contrary to the way that the world thinks. Secondly, peace as it pertains to Jesus is justification. Is justification. Now, when we say the word justification, this is what I want to have come to your mind. You're standing in a courtroom. God is the judge. You've been found guilty of your sin, and he is about to give you the sentence for your sin. All right? Which we know in the Bible is death, but that's the sentence. And Jesus steps in and says, no, I'm going to pay the price. In fact, he's already paid the price on the cross for our sins. And so now we are justified. All right. Our sin will not be against us when it comes to being before God. All right. Because it's been washed away by Jesus' blood. So that's justification. All right. And peace, as it pertains to Jesus, is this justification. In Romans 5, we read it this way. Therefore, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to a church in Rome. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. All right. So our faith in Jesus, our accepting of his blood on the blood spilling out on Calvary for our sins by faith. That's what justifies us. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with him through what? Through who? Jesus Christ. Right. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So when you take these five verses, what is Paul telling us? You're justified by your faith. All right, you're made right before God because you have faith. You believe in what Jesus has done for you on the cross and his blood spilled out on Calvary. And you've received this gift. All right, so you're justified. And this is what it brings you. It brings you peace. It brings you completeness. It brings you wholeness. It brings you, yes, some peace between individuals, right, as what the Greek word would tell us. And it brings some national tranquility because our relationship with God has been made right, that we can stand before him. Even though we've sinned, Jesus has healed us of that sin by paying the price so we can stand before God justified. Third, peace as it pertains to Jesus is readiness. Peace as it pertains to Jesus is readiness. In Ephesians 6, 13 through 15, there's a very well-known passage of scripture talking about the armor of God. And Paul again wrote to this church in Ephesus and he said, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, watch this, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of what? Peace. The gospel of peace. The good news of peace. What's the good news of peace? We're justified before a holy God because Jesus died on the cross for us. And he said the readiness comes when we have that gospel, that we wear it as shoes. We are so ready. What do we have to be ready for? Satan's attacks. What do we have to be ready for? The earth, the world, our friends, the persecution that may come from knowing Jesus. We have to be ready for sorrow and for death and for mourning and for all of those things that is going to try to tear us down. And we need to be ready for when Jesus comes again. That's the biggest thing we need to be ready for. Because when he comes again, do we want to be caught without the right shoes on? Right? Don't die with your boots on or die with your boots on. Whatever that saying is, right? We want to die with the readiness of the gospel on our feet. Ready not just to proclaim and take that good news to others, but to be defended by it. Knowing that we have been justified by our faith in Jesus. Peace as it pertains to Jesus is a sign. It's a sign. Another well-known passage of Scripture in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, right? We've all heard this passage of Scripture before as well. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, what does it mean, the fruit of the Spirit? What's this all about? Well, again, Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to ask God, the Father, to send the Helper to you, the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, the fruit that we bear, so the thing that that comes out of us, if you will, the fruit that we bear are these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right. Those are the things that come out of us as we have the Holy Spirit living in us and we are listening to him. And one of those things is peace. One of those things is this justification that we have through Jesus on the cross living inside of us. And so those are the things that people should see and experience with us if we're calling ourselves Christians. If we say that we've accepted Jesus, that we've accepted his free gift of grace, if we've been baptized in a watery grave and we say, listen, I trust Jesus, he is Lord, people also ought to see these things coming from us. It's a sign. Peace is a sign that we belong to Jesus. You can be a peacemaker this Christmas with your family if somebody starts to get out of line. or we can choose to add fuel to the fire. But what would a Christian do whose fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that they're bearing is peace? They're going to say, you know what, how can I bring peace to this situation as opposed to just stirring things up? So we know that it's a sign. And lastly, peace as it pertains to Jesus is a gift. Peace as it pertains to Jesus is a gift. We look in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. It says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Remember, notice that the word always. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I realize that this time of year can be very difficult for people. I've done two funerals in the last 2 weeks, and I have another one coming up in the middle of January, the oldest of which is 45 years old. One of the people actually took their own lives, and he used to come to church and fairly regularly come to church and worship with us. I know that it's a tough time. I know that some of you have lost loved ones, and this is your first holiday season without your loved one by your side, and you're starting to experiencing things that the memories are just pouring and flooding in. I know that some of you are feeling very alone this Christmas. And I know that some of you are battling depression and trying to work through that and trying to understand what that means and how to shake out of those things. I get that. Well, let's take some advice from Paul in the book of Philippians. And he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace that only He can offer will transcend all understanding. You may not get it. And people won't understand. They're saying, how can you be so happy when all this sadness and turmoil and tragedy has happened in your life? You say, I don't know. All I know is I turned it over to God. And because He's faithful, because He loves me, and because He's justified me through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, I have peace. I have peace in my life, peace in my heart, the peace that the Prince of Peace came to bring this world because I belong to Jesus. And it will allow us to get through some mighty big things. We go back to the first scripture that we looked at, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on His shoulder. And His name shall be called, read this with me, ready? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, Isaiah prophesied that there was going to be the one that was coming. And He was going to bring personal peace, a Wonderful Counselor. That's what a counselor does, right? A counselor helps us find peace inside of us somehow to deal with the issues that we're having. And Isaiah said, there's going to be one coming that He's going to bring this personal peace, the peace that comes from inside of us because He's a Wonderful Counselor. There's going to be one that's coming and He's going to offer the world peace because He's an Almighty God. And an Almighty God can ask and request everyone or make it available for everyone to come to know Him through Jesus Christ. He's an Almighty God. This one that's coming, He's going to give us hope for eternal peace because He's an Everlasting Father. He's going to give us the opportunity to not just accept something that's temporary, but accept something that goes on forever and ever, that we don't have to worry about this life and when this world ends, because our life will get to continue on. And finally, to be the only one to offer completeness as our Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied this hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And yes, He's going to be a Wonderful Counselor and a Mighty God and an Everlasting Father. But yes, He is going to be the Prince of Peace. And while it may not translate in our minds of what we think peace looks like, we know that this peace that Jesus is bringing is the peace that we're justified through. We're justified through His blood on the cross. And so we can have peace, completeness, soundness in our heart because of what God did for us through Jesus on the cross. Now, I didn't just bring a snack today, but this is a piece of pie. As you can tell by my physique, I'm a fan of pie. And that's all right. You can laugh. I know I'm fat. Now I'm losing the name of this kind of pie. It's a French silk pie. Those French know how to make some silky pie. This is French silk pie. One of my favorite pie groups, even though I forgot the name, I really do like French silk pie. And it's chocolate. One of my favorite flavors. Right? Anybody hate chocolate? Heathen? All right. I'm just kidding. when I think about peace around the family table, I'm going to a Bratton family function, and no doubt my mom will probably have pie there. And I love apple pie, and yes, I'm the golden child, so she'll probably have an apple chop pie there for me, right? When I think about peace in my family, when we get together, I think about everybody sitting around and just finishing the meal with dessert. Because we're all sitting down, we're eating, so nobody's talking because everybody's stuffing their face, right? Or I imagine just sitting in my favorite chair or on the couch and kicking my feet up and maybe watching a ball game or a Christmas movie or just talking or maybe even playing games. That's the peace that I envision when it comes to being with my family and what I want to see happen, because life is so busy and so rushed and all these things that are going on. I just want some peace. This is a puzzle piece. When I see a single puzzle piece, I think somebody's unhappy somewhere. Because they've worked hard to put together their puzzle. They probably not work very hard for this one. But anyway, they work hard to put together their puzzle, and guess what? It's not complete. It's not complete because they're missing a piece. My prayer, my challenge for us this Christmas season, when you get together with your family, is that while you're looking forward to the peace that comes from sitting around and eating your pie and everybody getting along, is that I want you to look at everybody a little differently this Christmas. I want you to look around the table, and I want you to ask God to identify for you, who is the person here that doesn't know you? Who is the puzzle piece that I need to add to God's family? Because God's family is not yet complete. It's waiting for one more person that hasn't accepted Jesus yet to become that part of the family of God that will make us more and more complete. And my prayer is that as you sit there around that table and you identify and you look around and say, okay, who is it that doesn't know Jesus? That you would pray to God and ask Him for an opening and keep praying for them. That in 2019, you can sit around eating your pie in a much more peaceful manner because you know that the Word of God, the family of God, is more complete because another piece was added. Don't let this Christmas season go by, especially with family, knowing that they don't know Jesus, without praying and asking God for an open door to introduce them to Him. God wants His family completed. And He's asked you and I to be about the business of introducing Him to others so that He can complete it. I'm going to offer a couple of invitations today. Number one is simply this. If you've not yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've not yet said out loud, listen, I believe in God. I believe that He created the heavens and the earth. If you've not confessed yet with your mouth that I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. If you've not yet confessed that Jesus is that only Savior, and I'm tired of following myself as Lord, I want to surrender to Jesus as Lord. And if you've not yet entered a watery grave of baptism where the Bible tells us that we unite with Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection, that our sins are washed away, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you've not taken that step, I'm going to ask you as the worship team comes up just to meet me at the cross, because I would love to talk to you about that. Maybe today's the day for that. Maybe we just start the discussion. I don't know. But if the Holy Spirit is nudging you, it's a gift from God, and He's nudging you to come forward and say, I'm calling you. I'm waiting for you. I want you to help complete our family. My second invitation is this. I want to go back to the part that I realize that this is a tough holiday season for some people. And for crying out loud, if you're battling depression to the point that you're experiencing, I wonder if the world would be better off without me, I'm begging you to come forward today. Because one, you have a church family that loves you, and we don't want to see that happen. We want you in our church family. Secondly, God wants you in this world, and He's got big plans for you. And so I'm going to be over here. I would love to pray with you. If you just need some prayer this holiday season to just say, listen, I need some encouragement. This is a tough time. I need to get through this. And if there's people over, I'm going to ask my elders to come over that are here, that they can help receive people. And the worship team is going to come and sing, and they'll sing as long as people are coming up that we can pray for folks. But folks, if there's anything weighing you down, let's not leave today with the weight on our shoulders. Let's leave today with peace, the peace that only comes through Jesus. That's my challenge for us this day and my challenge for us this Christmas season. Why don't you stand with me and let's pray. Father, we were promised that a wonderful Counselor, an Almighty God, an Everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace was coming. And I know in first century Palestine that means something different than it does today. But the similarity is that a Savior was coming to the world. And the peace that was coming through that Savior was going to be a justification that we can stand before a holy God, clean and pure and sinless because of the blood that washed down on Calvary. And Father, I pray that as we come and we celebrate that today, that you would receive our praise and our worship, and that it would be honoring to you. And Father, my biggest prayer is that if there's anyone here today that has not yet taken the step of faith and said, I choose Jesus, that today would be that day. And secondly, if there's anyone here that's just battling a tough time this holiday, I pray, Lord, that they would come for prayer, because we know that when we turn it over to you, you have a peace that surpasses our understanding that will calm and comfort them and help us get through it as a family. We love you, Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.